Well, praise God, this is March the 6th, Sunday morning, and just got back from Lima, Peru. I'm so excited about being back, and I'm going to share a little bit about what the Lord gave me while I was in that service on that Tuesday night with an awesome group, of a wonderful church group of people. We're going to go to Jeremiah 29. You know, God has people everywhere in the world. I mean, God has a people that are His people. God has a people that are going to serve Him in every country. I believe God is moving in all the countries of the world right now. And the word the Lord gave me for this particular church was about, do not pray your problem. Learn how to pray your answer. Learn how to stand on the word. Learn how to speak to your mountain. Learn how to deal with the enemy effectively. Of being effective is so important in the things of the kingdom of heaven. You know, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to be effective in it. If I'm going to, whatever I do in this life, let me be the best at what I do. Whatever I do, if I'm a baker, let me be the best baker. If I'm a race car driver, let me be the best race car driver. Let me be effective in everything I do. If I'm going to be a mother, let me be the best mother. If I'm going to be a cook, let me be the best cook. Whatever it is, God wants us to be the best at. And I think it's in all of us to be that way. But when it comes to our prayers, we don't know how to pray effectively. We don't know how to be the best prayer. We don't know how to be the best at that. But you can learn to be the best at anything. You can learn to be the best at anything. If you apply yourself and you study and you practice, you can be the best. You can be the best pianist. But you got to apply yourself. You just can't just walk up to a piano and expect it to do it for you. You have to practice. You have to apply yourself. You have to know and learn and have knowledge on how to apply the things you've learned. So God gave me a message for the people in this church in Peru that, yes, they have a heart for God. Yes, they love God and they pray. And they're a praying bunch of people. I'm telling you what, these people pray. And I'm sure they have successful prayers at times. But you know, if you're going to get in targets, practice, and learn how to hit the bullseye, you don't want to just hit and miss. You want to aim, and you want to be good at shooting that gun, right? You want to be good at whatever you do. So this is what the Lord spoke to me. The first thing is empowerment, being empowered to know who you are and to know who God is and who you are in God. So Jeremiah 29 is the scripture I think is the best at giving us an understanding of what God is all about. And if you get this revelation, it'll change the way you think, the way you pray, the way everything in your life works. It's truly, I believe, the number one key to being a successful Christian and staying a Christian. You know, a lot of people get saved and they go on with God for a while, but then they get under pressure or they get under problems. They have situations in their home or they have financial difficulty and they just give up on God. They just walk away. Well, this ain't working. They don't know anything about God is why it's not working. They don't know how to effectively serve God. I'm going to effectively serve God in this earth. Jeremiah 29, verse 12, and I want to listen to this very carefully. God is speaking here, and God is saying very familiar scripture, but I want you to hear it in a different way. Jeremiah 29, starting with verse 11, I said 12, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Just absolutely establish this right now. God in heaven knows all about you personally. He knows all about you. He knows all about what He's thinking about you too. He knows His thoughts. You may not know your thoughts. You may not know yourself very well, but God knows Himself very, very well. And God knows exactly what He's thinking about you. He knows His thoughts for you. And they're not going to change. He's not wishy-washy like we are. One day He's up and one day He's down and one day He likes you and one day He's mad at you. He is not like that. He's a very stable God. Heaven's a very stable place. There's not much I've ever been able to do that shook Him off His throne. I've shook some other people off their throne, but not God. My bad behavior doesn't affect heaven. So God knows what He's thinking toward me. See, I had to get established in this and get a revelation of this. And I know God knows what He's thinking about me. And He tells you. He tells you in the next sentence. This is what I'm thinking about you. He said, I'm only thinking thoughts of peace. Now, you've got to establish that in your mind, that God is not planning anything bad for you. It's not even in his thought processes. It's not in his mind. It's not in his plans. Nothing but peace is all that he's thinking about you and me. And I had to get established in knowing this about God. God never thinks bad about me. God always thinks about the best about me. He always is drawing the best out of me. He sees the best in me. He loves me. And he's never thinking anything but peace, thoughts of peace toward me. I don't care what a big mess I've made or how situation is in my life. God's out to give me peace. Number one, peace. Shalom. He is the God of peace. And he says, not of evil. And the reason he's this way, the way he is like this, is because you and I need an expected end. You and I need to know that we've got an expected end in our lives. We have got to know that we're not just out here floating around and hopscotching along in a river or somewhere aimlessly floating around. We have an expected end. We have an expected destination. We have an expected income. You know, ending. Expected. Expect it. That's the thing he wants us to see, is that you can expect this to happen if you will just know that his thoughts are towards you. Get acquainted with how he thinks. Get acquainted with God. Israel knew his acts, but Moses knew his ways. Moses knew God. And he says, if you'll just know what I'm thinking, the outcome of your life will be an expected outcome. It will be God's expected outcome. It'll be what God is expecting to happen to you. Not what the devil planned. Not what you've got messed up. What God planned. The expected end that he's got in mind. Hallelujah. Isn't it exciting to know that we've got an expected end? Because he's thinking about that for me. He's thinking that about Justino. I know he's planning on going off into New York and riding caballos. But God's got an expected end for you. Doesn't matter what you're thinking about, God's got the thoughts of good for you to give you a good ending. Isn't that good to know? Now, here's the key. Here's the key to why I elaborated on that so much. The Holy Spirit a while back showed me this. And he said, verse 12 starts with the word then. There's a reason verse 12 starts with the word then. Do you know why it starts with the word then? I'm going to tell you why it starts with the word then. The next thing it says is, then you're going to do something. Then you're going to do something. I said, Lord, what are you talking about to me here? What are you explaining to me? Then I will do something. Then I will pray. He said, and then you'll call upon me. Well, that's prayer. Is that not prayer? You'll call on me. And you'll go and pray unto me. And I will hearken unto you. Now, I'm telling you one thing about the Lord, is that if you call on him, he will listen. You sincerely seek him, he will listen to you. He is so eager for us to listen, talk to him, listen to us. But that word then jumped out at me. And he said, until the believer, I don't care how born again they are and how long they've been serving God, until the believer understands verse 11, they're not going to be so excited about calling on God and seeking God and praying until they are established in verse 11. When you realize through revelation how much God loves you, how much good he's got planned for you, how much wonderful expectation he has for your life, and the expected end he's already got figured out, until you come to absolutely be established in that fact, you're not going to pray so seriously. You're not going to seek God. But when you come to have a revelation that he really, really is thinking about you consciously every day, and he really has a great plan for an outcome for your life, then you're going to get excited about praying. Then you're going to get excited about knowing how to pray. Then you're going to get on your knee bones and it won't be hard anymore. Then you'll be excited about your time with God. Then you'll be able to push through the barriers and the hindrances the devil puts in front of you. Then you'll be able to pull down some strongholds and say, no, devil, I'm going to pray anyway. I don't care if I feel like God's around or not. I'm still going to seek God. I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to fast. I'm still going to look to the one that sits on the throne, because I know he's got a good plan for my life. I know what he's thinking. He's thinking nothing but good for me. You're going to seek a person like that, aren't you? Aren't you going to seek out somebody that you are sure, absolutely sure, is going to work in your behalf for good? Yeah, you are. You're not very smart if you don't. So then, when you have a revelation of how good he is, and how much he loves you, and how much peace he has for your life, and that good ending, every one of us has got an ending in this life. He wants you to be successful in everything you put your hand to. The word says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, Joshua 1:8. But you will meditate therein day and night, and then you will make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. We always want the good success and the prosperity before we get the word in our mouth. It's the word in your mouth. The word that you speak is what you believe. But you won't speak anything until you get it in you. Until you believe it, you're not going to speak it. I only really talk what I believe. So God is saying here in Jeremiah 29, I already know what I'm thinking, but it's you got the problem. You don't know what I'm thinking. You don't know my ways. You don't know my thoughts, and you don't know what I got planned. But when you find out, when you really know, and you're really established in it, buddy, prayer will be easy. Prayer will be a thing that you will hunger for. Prayer will be a thing that you'll thrive for. It'll be your life. My prayer life is my life. Because you know why? Because everything I pray, I get. Everything I pray, I get an answer to it. Because I know how to pray effectively. You know what effective prayer will do? It'll change everything. Effective prayer changes your entire life. We pray amiss all the time. But God says, don't consume it upon your lust. He says, you have not because you ask not because you pray amiss. Just to consume it upon your lust. And we don't realize that. What are you talking about, God? We really are pretty selfish. We really all about us. And God says, if you'll start thinking my thoughts after me, you'll start thinking like I think, and then you'll start seeing the world in a different way. You'll have a different vision, a different view, a different world will open up to you. And that's exactly what has happened to the believer who knows who God is, who knows his ways, who knows his thoughts and what he's thinking. I had to learn what's God thinking. What is God really thinking about? I used to think he was ready to get me with a big old ball bat every time I messed up and every time I did something wrong. Pow! He's going to get me now. No, he's not thinking like that. That's what the devil would make us think. Isn't this good? So this verse is a key. Because when you know what he's thinking, it'll change your life. And then verse 13 says, and you will seek me. And the neat thing is God will answer you when you pray, and you will find him. I found God because I know this is a fact. This is not a hope so maybe thing. I know this works because when you know how much he loves you and how many good things, outside of God, there's no good. Did you know that? There's nothing good outside of him. Nothing. Nothing good. You're just kind of in a rowboat without a paddle, going down the wrong side of the stream. You're just aimlessly wandering through life without God in control. I want him to be in control of my life. Now, James, let's go to James. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Nothing will change you more than praying for somebody else's problems and being an intercessor for somebody else. Standing in the gap for somebody else's problems, caring about somebody else besides yourself. But the last part of this verse says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Availeth much. Now, if I'm going to pray to a God I know is going to hear me when I pray, that means he's going to answer that prayer. That means I'm going to have an availeth much kind of prayer. We're talking mucho grande. Mucho grande prayer. From Spanish I picked up. Mucho grande. I want a much answered prayer. I want evidence that I've prayed. I want some evidence that I've been on my knees. I want to see some results for my time on those knee bones. I want to see God move in people's lives. I want to see him, boom. When I came back and visited with that man up there on that road, I knew God answered all my prayers for him. Because I remember being on my knees in tears for him, in compassion for him, and asking God, bless him, bring him horses. He's got 12 horses coming in the next week to board at his farm. He's got money coming in right and left. He is just ecstatic about how God has blessed him. And he don't even go to church. But see, God heard my prayers for this man. I'm positive of that. You see, I have availeth much prayer life. And, you know, Elijah, what did Elijah do? He ran from God, ran from Jezebel. You know, he was just a human being. We're just human beings. But there's one thing about Elijah. He could pray effectively. And that's what God wants every single believer to do, is to walk in effective prayer life. Now, how do you get an effective prayer life? I want to give you how to get it. It's in Hebrews chapter 8. Here's your effective prayer life right here. Promised through covenant. God cannot, you know, one thing about God, he's a covenant-keeping God. And there is a covenant God made. Through the blood covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ, God promised this prayer to be answered. The covenant. This is a covenant prayer. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant. Now, when I was preaching to these people that night in that service, this is what the Holy Spirit kept saying to me. And this interpreter kept repeating this over and over and over. This is the covenant. Remember that, Justino, how I kept saying that over and over? This is it. This is the covenant. Do you want to know what God's covenant is all about? This is it. This is the covenant. God cannot break covenant. So you've got a covenant. You didn't have to cut the covenant with God. Jesus Christ cut the covenant on that cross for you through his own blood. It's a blood covenant that Jesus cut with God Almighty himself for you. You have a covenant with God. And this is it. I'm getting ready to tell you. This is it. This is the covenant. God promised, I will make with the house of Israel after those days. That's us. I will put my laws into their mind, and I will write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God. Do you know what it is to have God as your God? When God really is your God, you're not your own God anymore. When God is your God, your husband's not your God anymore. When God is your God, your money's not your God anymore. When God is your God, there is nothing in this life as your God anymore, because he said, I will be to them a God. I have a God. I have Almighty God is my God. He's my God. I tell him all the time. I said, Lord, I don't have another God. You're the only God I have. You're the only God I look to. You're the only God. I don't look to money. I don't look to people. I don't look to friends. I don't look to anything but you. You're my God. People forget that God really is God, and he wants to be your God. Your only God. In fact, he says, I'm a jealous God. You can't have no other gods before me. I'm it. He won't make room for you if you don't make room for him in this area. He has to be your God. He has to be ultimate uno, number one. God. He's my God. And he'll know what he's thinking about me. So how can I fail? He's not thinking nothing but peace about me. He's my God. And he's not thinking nothing but wonderful, good ending for me, outcome. I saw it in Peru. I just couldn't get over how God had all these plans for me that I didn't even know were going to happen. He had all this already figured out. He already knew the plan. But this is the thing I heard the Holy Spirit that night, and I hear it today, is that this is the covenant. We forget we have this kind of covenant, and God said, I will write my word in your heart. We struggle. Oh, God, I don't know your word. I don't know your word. Well, you promised that you would write it in my heart. You promised you would write it in my mind. That's covenant. When you stand on God's word and you stand on that covenant promise that he's going to do it, he'll do it. He will do whatever you can believe him to do. But it begins with Jeremiah 29. Then you're going to pray. Then you're going to get in the Word. Then you're going to seek God. You'll seek me and you'll find me. You're going to find him because he promised it in covenant. I'll write my word in your heart. You know what it is to have God's word written in your heart, in tables of the living heart of your being, not in tables of stone, but written in, with tables, the tablets of your heart. The word of God will literally be written in your heart, just like he wrote it on the finger of tablets when he was in the mountain in Mount Sinai with Moses. But he said, now I'm going to write it with my own fingers in your heart. My word will be engraved in you. Just like you're written and engraved on God's heart, you're going to be, his word will be written and engraved. Holy Spirit, the Lord spoke to me this past week or so. And he said, I am in you, but you're also in me. I'm in him, but he's also in me. We just can't hardly grasp that without revelation knowledge. Isn't this good? I'll write my word in your heart, and I'll write it in your minds. Your minds and your heart. And I'll be to you a God. This is when you know you're making some progress in your prayer life, in revelation life with God. This is when you know when God becomes your God in every situation. When you're tempted to do this, you're tempted to do that, you're tempted to run here for help. Nope. Get back on that word. It's written in my heart and it's in my mind, and he's my God. His word and him are one. He cannot fail. He cannot lie. He is impossible for God to lie. I have an anchor to the soul. So when you know that God, when you start trusting God for everything, that's when you know, buddy, I'm getting some word written in my heart. I'm getting some word written in my mind. I'm growing here. I'm starting to really become a believer in his word. I'm really starting to act like a believer because he really is my God. I will be to you a God. He promised this. This is the covenant. And they shall be my people. God wants a people. And this is the only way you're going to qualify to really be his people is when you've got his word. And the level of the word that you have qualifies the effective way you walk in this life as a people of God. Effectively walking, effectively living, effectively talking in every situation. Now, am I perfect? No. But I have the perfect one in me. Thank God I got the perfect one. I know where he is. He's in me. He's not out there somewhere yonder trying to get a hold of him. He's in me. Because he's written in my heart to the level he's written in here is the level I have him in me. Y'all see that?
Yes.
This is the covenant. And it's not hard to get a hold of this. Can I make other people do what's right? No. Can I make other people serve God? No. But I'm not required to. That's not my job. My job is to learn how to pray effectively. The avail of much prayer. I want availeth much in my life. I'm tired of seeing nothing happen when I pray. It's the level of your life, walking in the word, written in your heart, written in your mind. God will expound himself through you. He used me that day, that night, in a way I've never, ever been used, ever. Never in my life. And I've prayed for people 30 years. You know, we've been praying for a long time, haven't we? I've been praying for a lot of people all my life, but I've never, ever experienced an outpour of God like that. Everybody I touched, everything I touched, it was almost knocking me backwards. It was just incredible ministry night for me. It was just like, God, it's just so real. His power is so real and tangible. I could feel it. I could, just everywhere. I told a girl that goes to that church, and Justino or somebody translated, I think he translated this, or maybe Stephen translated it for me. I said, thousands and thousands of years, human beings have sat and watched the display of nature, electricity, thunder, lightning. They've known there was something that was causing all that energy, all that power displayed. Thousands of years, human beings watched electricity in the air, strike down trees, catch buildings on fire, things, you know, destruction through the powers that are out there in the world. But God brought revelation to man how they could harness that power and use it in the natural things, just as the natural things. Now we can heat our houses, we can light our house rooms, we can cook with it. Electricity is a wonderful thing, but they didn't know anything about how to harness that power. Had no way of knowing till God brought revelation. See, when God brings you revelation, then you can know how to walk in this covenant. Then you can walk out, learn how to speak this word. This word, this book of the law, Joshua 1:8. Let's look at Joshua 1:8. I took them there too. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law. In the New Testament, you can apply it this way. What has been written in your heart and written in your mind was put there for a reason. Guess why? Guess why that covenant is so powerful? Because you're supposed to take it and speak it out of your mouth. What will happen when you've got God's word written in your heart and in your mind? What's going to happen? It's going to come out of your mouth. I mean, that just makes common sense. If you've got God's word written in your heart and in your mind, guess where it's going to ooze out of? Your mouth. And it'll come out when you're under pressure. It'll come out when you've got a problem. You take an orange and you squeeze it, juice comes out. I don't care what kind of heat you apply to something, something that's in there is going to come out. The word of God will come out when you're under pressure, if it's in you. If it's written in your mind and in your heart, that's what's going to come out of you in the good time and the bad times. You see, you can understand your level of word by what you say in the hard times. If you're talking negative and you're not talking the word in a hard situation, you better get back on that covenant and get some word written. Let God. God said, I'll write my word. I'll write it in your heart. I'll write it in your mind. And it's in many phases. It's in many areas of healing, prosperity. Whatever the whole man, spirit, soul, and body, God's got a word to write in your heart in every area of your life. I don't care what it is. God's big, big God. So Joshua 1:8 is a principle that was given thousands of years ago, but it is based, it's still the way it works today in the new covenant. And I want you to think about Hebrews chapter 8, where God said, this is the covenant. I'll write my word, my laws in your heart and in your mind. Now, Joshua 1:8 starts the reality of how this operates, becomes clear. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Shall not depart out of your mouth. If it departs out of your mouth, you've departed from the word. Period. Simple. So don't expect the rest of this work, this verse to work. Don't expect to have the prosperity and the good success if that word is departed out of your mouth. It can't depart out of your mouth, but the good news is it won't if it's written in your heart and it's written in your mind. And God is really your God. It'll never depart. As long as God doesn't depart, the word won't depart out of your mouth. Because you will speak what's in your heart and what's in your mouth. Do you see that? Then you're going to make your way prosperous. Then you're going to have good success. Is it going to happen immediately? Is it going to be instant? We just want instant God all the time. I heard Glory Copeland say, we just want McDonald's God. We want a drive-through God. We put our order in. No, it's what's in your heart and in your mind, and He is your God. You're going to walk like He's your God every single day. And your prayers will be availeth much prayers. Because God will always hear you. You'll call on me, and I will hear you. You'll seek me, and you'll find me. See how awesome it is? I'm going to read this one more time. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Cannot depart. It's a commandment. Do not let it depart out of your mouth. It's your barometer. It's your temperature gauge. We take our temperature to see if we got a problem. If that word's not in your mouth in a situation, better get back on that word. Get God, write this word. Just chapter 1. It's a prayer that I prayed many, many, many times for myself. This is my prayer. I pray it almost every day, consistently. I pray this prayer for myself. It's part of my prayer language. It's a part of who I am, this prayer. Starting with verse 17, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Him. Now, who do you think is writing your word, this word, the covenant word? This is the covenant. Who's writing this word in your heart? Who's writing it in your mind? The Holy Spirit is. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom is the Holy Spirit. He was given to you at the day of Pentecost. And He's the one who's writing His word in your heart and in your mind. God, give me the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, the knowledge of You. Let my eyes of understanding be enlightened. Let me know what is the hope of my calling in Christ Jesus. What is that good expected end? What is the outcome? What is the plan? God doesn't want you to not know the plan. He's got a good plan for us. And then verse goes on, it says, verse 19, and that, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. So you got to believe this. You can't try it. It's got to be a no-so thing. But you know, the good news is tribulations work with patience. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. See, all these scriptures start tying in and making sense. Oh, that's why that said that there. That connects with this. The dots start getting connected in you. And then it all starts flowing together, because God's not fickle. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I never change. Hallelujah. Now I've got another verse. This is the last verse I shared that night with these folks. They got a good word that night. And they were ready. They were ready to hear this. We're going to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. I didn't read the whole thing, but I shared with them a little bit about what was going on here. This is a typical storm in a person's life. Acted out. Paul did not have a New Testament in his back pocket. Paul was writing the New Testament during his lifetime. Everything he wrote by experience with God. He knew God. God was busy writing his word in his heart and in his mind so he could put it on paper. He was living the New Testament. Everything he did, everywhere he went, however many years Paul experienced life through the things he went through, ministry life, he was writing the New Testament. God was writing it in his heart, and in turn, he shared it with us. And this experience of Paul being in the middle of a cyclone or a typhoon or hurricane or whatever was going on in the Mediterranean Sea, it was pitch black. And it said they hadn't eaten for like 14 days. They'd given up all hope. They'd thrown off all the tackle off the ship. They'd thrown off all the wares. They were hanging on for dear life, and the ship was ready to break apart. And there was no one speck of daylight. There was not a glimmer of a twinkling of a star up there. It was pitch black, and they were hanging on to the bows of that ship, about to die. And all of a sudden, Paul stands up and says, be a good cheer. Now, how would you react to somebody? You would thought, okay, they've done lost their mind. Throw him overboard now. He done lost it. But no, Paul stands up and says, be a good cheer. See, he knew how to get a hold of God. He knew how to pray effectively. He knew how to tap into the presence of God. And he knew how to get a word from God. Didn't have a New Testament in his back pocket, but he knew how to hear from the Spirit of God. And that very night, he said, look at what he said in it's chapter 27, starting with verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, You should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. And I don't believe he was just standing there and saying, hey guys, just be good cheer here. I mean, they could hardly hear for the gale of the wind. They couldn't even see each other. They were hanging on for dear life. The boat was ready to break apart. He is screaming at them, be of good cheer. He got their attention. For there will be no loss to any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Who are the ones? The ones that have made God their God. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. The ones I've written the covenant in. The word is in their heart and in their mind. I will be to them a God. The only ones who are God can say God is my God are the ones who are walking in the covenant of the word being written in their heart and written in their mind. Then you can say God's my God, and you can say he's mine. Whom I serve. Whose I am. They will be to me a God. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. See, God knows who you are. If you've made him your God, that means you're his people. Paul said, whose I am and whom I serve. He was established in who he was. Mm-mm-mm. You all getting this, Jeremiah 29? He knew what he was thinking. He knew God was thinking only good about him. Good outcome. Expectation here. Paul said, whose I am and whom I serve. He spoke to me. God will always speak to you in your problem. God will, if you're his and you belong to him, he will always come through for you. You're his child. He's your, you're his people. He's not a God who can cast off his people. He's my God. I will be to you a God and you will be to me a people. I don't care what the problem is. God will get a word to you in your mess, in your darkest time, in your horrible, horrible experiences, hanging on for dear life. God will get a word to you. And then you've got to respond like Paul responded. Remember, he didn't have a New Testament in his back pocket. You'll respond the way he responds. You'll say, fear not. You know how threatening fear is? It'll paralyze you. Fear not. You know God, your God? You won't fear. Fear not. He said, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. See, there's an expected end. God had a plan. God's got a plan for our lives. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Now, if anything ever was written in your heart, you need to write this in your heart, that I and make this your statement, I'm going to believe God, that it shall be as he told me, even as he told me. No matter how it looks, doesn't matter if I'm hanging on by a thread, doesn't matter how bad the things look, I need to get a word from God. And if he speaks to me, I'm going to believe what he says. I finished the service that night with this message, with that word. And there were tears in those people's eyes. And I said, now I'm going to pray for everybody. We're going to pray the word of God in your situation. We're not going to pray the problem anymore. We're not going to bawl and cry and scream anymore. We're not going to try to get God to feel sorry for us anymore. We're not going to try to manipulate God to answer our prayers. We're not going to try to get God to do anything for us. We're going to believe his word. We're just going to believe his word. We're going to pray the answer. We're not going to pray the problem anymore. I don't care how hard you beat on the ground and cry and scream and suffer. That ain't going to move God. God is moved by one thing in his word and your faith in his word. And your prayer life will change forever if you'll do this. Father, I just seal this word today, and I thank you for it, God. In Jesus' name, amen.